Okay, then let's tear into the GAA action. I'll start with a season after relegation. Donegal, we're back in Division 1 of the National Football League. This, of course, is the senior men. A convincing 13.1 over Kildare and Ballyshannon secured promotion. Then 6 days later, Declan Bonner delivered a second piece of silverware for the Donegal GAA Trophy cabinet inside a year after his side staged a super second half turnaround at Croke Park to claim the Division 2 League Trophy with a 117-115 victory over Meath.
Yeah, very good second half performance. We weren't good in the first half. We lacked, you know, any real aggression, any real intensity. And opening half, you know, there didn't seem to be that energy there that has been there for the last number of matches. But I thought the second half was a really good performance and we really upped the tempo.
Yeah, there was a real question asked come 13 minutes because you were down by 8 points at that stage. And when they started to find a bit of momentum, it was a good response in the latter part of the half.
Yeah, listen, you know, these guys, still a lot of young lads there, but the experience is vital. You know, Neil coming in there was a vital influence with Michael's performance. All over the match was outstanding. Mm-hmm. But I thought overall a lot of the younger lads done extremely well, and matches like that there can only bring them on. And you know, we were in the same situation. We were 5 points down at Cork at half time. We went on to win that game, and just great character within the group.
Yeah, big character within the group. That was a serious second half performance on that league final day, and it was good prep for the championship too, Ryan.
Yeah, it certainly was, Oisín. I think I'm right in saying they were 1-6 to 1 point down after 14 minutes, and they looked completely lost in Croke Park. And Neil McGee came on and settled the team down, and it wasn't long before they started to claw their way back. And I think if I remember correctly, Michael Murphy was sensational that day, as he was all year, but particularly that day at full forward with the attacking mark. And it'll be very interesting now that it's the experiment is over and it'll be in next year, and that could be a serious weapon for Donegal going forward.
Yeah, then they went to championship, and Donegal looking to make it back-to-back crowns, but the big one en route to making the final was that victory against Tyrone, Ryan.
Yeah, it was massive, and I think it had been a couple of years since Donegal had taken out one of the big hitters, should we say, and that day in Cavan they were really, really excellent against Tyrone and really went after them. And I suppose we had seen Stephen Rochford come in and we were wondering what was he going to bring to the table, and you could see that day that, you know, the attacking football, the expansive football that he was bringing to it. And you know, Donegal supporters were very, very happy leaving Cavan that day because it was an excellent performance.
Well, then came back-to-back Ulster titles for Donegal for only the second time in the county's history. A comfortable 5 points, 124-216 over Cavan in the final at St Tiernan's Park in Clonus. Patrick McBertie returned after a lengthy injury to win a fifth Ulster title with Donegal.
I've got another Ulster medal for you. It's a nice feeling. I guess you want to grab as many as you can.
Well, totally. The aim for this squad and this team is always to win the provincial title. So, you know, for a lot of us, it's our fifth year now. So, they get sweeter every time.
But a bit more special for you, maybe, given what you've had to come through with that terrible injury and how hard you had to work to get back to the point where you're kicking scores in an Ulster final.
Yeah, listen, I suppose a bit of contrast and emotions here now, I suppose, since last year and today. You know, leaving here last year, probably knew they'd be out for a significant bit of time, and today, you know, we put on a good performance here and won Ulster title. So, you know, there's a lot of hard work in between, but you know, the whole group is putting in a good shift, you know.
Joined by Michael Murphy. Michael, for the fifth time you've lifted the Anglo Celt, how does it feel?
It feels like it's the first time. It feels every single that is good time. It's magic, like, you know, it still is the thing. The whole thing just hasn't changed one bit from the first time you lifted to the last time you experienced it. I think the defeats in between times and getting beat a couple of times that we did made us appreciate it even more. There's been a hell of a lot of time where we haven't been anywhere near an Ulster final, let alone win one. And then to lose a few in between times too made us appreciate how massive it is for everyone. As I say, we'll savour it tonight and we'll get ready again to go again for towards the Super 8.
A second Ulster medal, Ulster championship as a manager, obviously very pleasing from that point of view.
I'm delighted, Tom, really. I mean, it's bringing, you know, we don't do back-to-back too often. You know, only the second time in our history, and this group of players really deserve a ring to get. They've worked extremely hard. As I said before, it's a small squad. It's only 29, 30 players in that squad, and everyone really puts the shoulder to the wheel, players, management alike, and that's the reward. It's not just about me today or Michael Murphy, it's about that whole group, and everyone really, really working hard.
Declan Bonner, Donegal manager, speaking after that Ulster title success and deservingly so of another provincial crown during that time, Maureen.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see them winning back to back and then really boost them now going forward next year, probably looking for three in a row as well. But they were coming off promotion into Division 1. I mean, the winning of Division 2 by a 2-point game to Meath as well earlier on the year. So they were going into it facing maybe All Ireland runners up Tyrone as well from the 2018 campaign. So you would have thought Tyrone had a lot more offer in the day, and we didn't really know what way the game was. But Donegal had far too much on the day. I remember watching the game. Jamie Brennan was fantastic on the day, you know. Paddy McBrearty was brilliant as well, coming back into form, and they left Breffni Park that day with a 4-point victory, going into playing a final then against Cavan. Cavan, first time in the final in 18 years, so that in itself was a big thing for Cavan. But it was, you know, very easy for Donegal to take it on the day. They ran away with 216-124 score down.
It was a very comfortable 5.1 Dermot, but then they knocked on then to the Super 8s, and it was a series that sort of had mixed emotions for Donegal and mixed performances, and when it came to the nitty gritty at the end down in Castlebar, Donegal just couldn't get out of Castlebar with what they needed to make the semi-finals.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange when you think about the Super 8s over the last couple of years. In 2018, Donegal were in with Dublin, Roscommon, Tyrone, didn't qualify into the next stage. I think the feeling was it was a disappointing end to the championship for Donegal. But in 2019, we were in with Kerry, Mayo and Meath, beat Meath and Battle Buffet, just about got over the line that day. If I remember, it was a baking hot day, wasn't it, in McCool Park, and Donegal beat a Meath team who just wouldn't go away that day, played ever so well against Kerry in that epic encounter in Croke Park, and then lost out to Mayo. So second year in a row failed to qualify for the next stage of the All-Irelands. But you know, it was completely different from 2018. The feeling was Donegal probably undone by injuries within the camp. I think they suffered injuries at bad times, didn't they? And that's probably what cost them.
Yeah, like I suppose they talk about the Wednesday night after the Meath game leading up, and you know, as legend has it, that four players got injured and another player rolled his ankle and actually did play. But the loss of Owen Ban Gallagher, I think you know, it was a big blow. He broke his ankle, and he's a player which brings just such pace and energy to the team. And I think, you know, he was certainly a big blow to lose him, and Neil McGee and Paddy McGrath, your experienced players, I suppose they're on the go a long time too, and they had picked up a few injuries. But to be fair, you have to say, like, that day they went to take on Kerry without half of their first choice defence, and you know, they didn't revert to the way football was played a couple of years ago and placed two sweepers. They went toe to toe, and probably the best game of the year, I would say, 120 apiece. And Donegal probably could have won that game, but at the same time still needed Michael Murphy to kick a last minute free, and that set us up to go down to Castlebar.
Yeah, and maybe looking forward next year as well, like when you see the likes of young Oisin Gallen coming off, a 19-year-old player, like coming off the bench, and he scored a fantastic goal against Meath in injury time, you know, to seal the victory in the first round. And then that epic game in Croke Park, that draw, he scored two vital scores, you know, that brought them into a draw. And Donegal just needed a one or a draw against Mayo. But as you say, like, a year hampered with injuries, like when Declan Bonner looks back this year, like, he lost Kieran Glesby early on the year, like young Conor O'Donnell, I think, that he's cruciate. Paddy McGrath's out now with a cruciate injury this year. He'll be coming back into form. So a lot of injuries this year.
And Oisin Gallen on the shoulder.
Oisin's going to be out with his shoulder. And yeah. I think the hope is that he'll make the latter stages of the league going forward. But it's a blow to the senior team, and obviously for the Donegal under-20s as well.
Yeah, and Ryan, just like, Donegal want to stay in Division 1 and get good prep for the championship. I mean, you can get the bulk of those players back from injury. It should all bode well come the summertime.
Yeah, definitely, Oisin. I think, you know, going forward, I know Donegal got to the All-Ireland final in 2014 from Division 2, but generally, if you look through the stats, you need to be in the top flight, and if Donegal want to be at that top table, they need to stay in the top flight. And it's exciting for everybody, you know, like, I think it's January 25th, Mayo are coming to Balway Buffet, and then it's Meath and Galway, and you've Dublin and Kerry. And
what's that Donegal team going to look like at the start of the league?
Well, you know, I don't know if you're a betting man or not now, but if you could predict that one, I'd say you'd be doing well. It's you know, it's going to be very hard to know, yeah, because particularly in the forward division, you know, Patrick McBrearty was away for Christmas in America and he's due back in January, but will he be available for that first game or not? I don't know. Oisin Gallen isn't going to be available. So are we going to see the experiment of Michael Murphy back up the field again, or is Jamie Brennan going to be able to kick on? There's a lot of questions, but there's going to be a lot of interest once again. It's always is a lot, yeah, of interest in the green and gold.
Let's mention Michael Murphy. Yeah. We do every year, but he's had an awesome year and fully deserving of his All-Star, Chris.
Yes, the superb consistency there, evident once again. He scooped the Player of the Year award at the Ulster All-Star Awards in Armagh, and the Donegal captain joined on that Ulster team by seven of his teammates, and he was honoured with his third All-Star award as well up in Dublin. And in November, then named Footballer of the Year. So, you know, he just keeps doing it, and a hugely important cog in that Donegal wheel.
Yeah, big cog on it, surely. Michael Murphy, and he went into management as well. We'll be hearing from him later on. I had success with the LYAT in Letterkenny. But what we're going to do now is go for a quick commercial break, and we'll have more on the Gaelic Games front on the way after these. And you're welcome back to our highlights of 2019. Speaking of Michael Murphy, once again, Letterkenny IT won the Trench Cup in February after coming from behind to defeat Dundalk IT by 15 points to 2-7. The final was played in Mallow in County Cork. Michael Langan was named the man of the match, and it was a first title for Michael Murphy as manager.
Brilliant, as I say, it was nip and tuck coming down the stretch there. There was a game, realistically, kind of two halves. There was a strong gale force breeze, but do you know, if we kept them docked to fairly minimal scores in that second half, they got a crucial goal at a stage which kind of increased their tally. I suppose they had a 5-point lead. The boys kept chipping, and it's been the character of this group throughout our whole series of games where we've been down or we've been ahead, and we've kept the, put it this way, spectators have got value for their money in terms of 60-minute game. So now credit to the lads, they really stood up to the end and they chipped over the scores who they needed in the end of.
Michael Murphy, manager of the LYIT. That was a great performance by them this year in the colleges competition, because colleges football is not easy, particularly when you go to finals weekend and you're so far out of your comfort zone. You're at the other end of the country, Ryan.
Yeah, like it's very difficult to go down that far. You know, it was a long bus journey. You know, there's not going to be any charter planes down there. You know, you're just going to have to get on with it. And to be fair, you know, I seen them play Dundalk in the league final last year, and it was a really good, exciting game, and it seemed to be more of the same down in Cork. And you know, we see it time after time, you know, the big county men are what counts, and Michael Langan, you know, showing that leadership, and he's a Donegal man, he's a Donegal player, he's well established in the team now, a great young talent, and it was good to see him showing the leadership.
Yeah, Sigerson up next for them?
Yes, Sigerson's up next. They're stepping up in quality up to the higher grade, and they're playing Athlone in the first round, and that's in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be good to see how they get on. Like, there's a lot of Donegal players in the team, and you know, they did well in the league. I know they didn't maybe get the results they would have liked, but they definitely showed a lot of promise, and you know, they'll fancy their chances of winning that game.
Yep. Is Michael Murphy, Dermot Doherty, a future Donegal senior team manager?
Oh, he's got to be. Oisin, you can imagine sitting in the dressing room with Michael Murphy, you know, giving a team talk. How could you not listen? How could you not be motivated by a man who's done so much and has been such a big figure? He is such an influence in the team. He must be a massive influence in the dressing room as well. Wouldn't it be great to see him managing at club level as well, with his own club, Glenswilly, maybe as a player manager role? You know, we'd be interested.
Come to Germany, Maureen. Ryan, just a note before we go for news. Three in a row Ulster titles. Is it achievable for Donegal in 2020?
Oh, I definitely think it is, but you know, I suppose the first big stumbling block you're going to have is Tyrone and Ballybuffet on May 17th, and that's going to be a cracking game, and it's one that's really, you know, it seems a long way away at this stage, but it'll come in quickly then into that, and you know, Donegal will have to be ready for themselves. The big question on the Tyrone side is, will Matty Donnelly be back in time from his, I think he's got a bad hamstring injury, you know, and we could have another Canavan running around at that stage too, and he'll have to take some marking. So, you know, both teams are coming through with a lot of talent, and it's sure to be a cracker that day in McCool Park.
Okay, back to our sports review of the year. We're looking at the highlights of 2019. We're continuing on the Gaelic Games front, and we're going to go to the clubs now, because Niamh Connell took the Donegal Senior Football Championship title this year after an 8-7 victory over Gidor in a second replay under the lights at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Niamh Connell's Kieran Thompson was named the Gradam Seamus McGeady Donegal Senior Championship Player of the Year after playing a starring role as his side lifted the Dr. Maguire for the first time in 4 years.
Listen, the best feeling in the world is something I dreamed of about since I was a boy, you know, and when my brother done it in 2010, you know, I always wanted to follow in his footsteps, and I'm just delighted to get over the line today.
Yeah, obviously, you know, three tough games, you know, when you come out on the top, it's a great way to win it.
Listen, it's unbelievable. Like, we never expected three games, you know, and to beat Gidor over three games is no mean feat, so we're just absolutely ecstatic, you know, and I'm so proud of the boys over there. Everything they give all year in the last 3 years has been just second to none.
Yeah, great character, and really grew in stature, I think, and grew as a team over those last three games.
That's it, definitely. We were big underdogs going into the game, and I suppose rightly so, but we always believed in ourselves. We knew we had the players, we knew we had the character, we knew we had the commitment, and we're just delighted to get over the line here today, Tom.
It looks a couple of times if you were gone, maybe not tonight, but other days.
Other days, definitely. We were 2 points down in the first game and we came back to level it, and then in the second game there as well, 3 points down in extra time. Like, and that just shows the character of this team. They never say die attitude, and it's just unbelievable, and I'm absolutely delighted.
Unbelievable, Tom. Just the tough three games we had, like, to come out the other end of it, it's just an unbelievable feeling.
And you came in here very much as the underdogs the very first day.
Well, you've seen yourself. It was 12 people said Gidor, and no one said us, like, so I think it changed over the course of the games, and I suppose people gave us more chance, but going in the first game, we knew ourselves we had what it takes to do the business, like, and I suppose the belief was within ourselves, and I think we showed it over the three games that, you know, we do have the players, you know.
Yeah, the young lads coming in made it, you know, they give you a freshness probably, you know, that you hadn't over the last couple of years.
Definitely, unbelievable. It was them men, you know, that pulled us through in the end, like Kieran Owen, Kieran Gallagher, Charlie Alton. The young man Ethan stepped up today, really stepped up, you know.
And I've mentioned it to everybody, so I've to mention you, obviously the hurt of the last couple of years as well.
It's tough losing county finals, you know, and people were saying, you know, you're going to do three in a row, lose three in a row, like, and all that sinks in, and it's tough to hear, and I suppose a lot of hurt, and we put it into hard work in the past couple of months, and thankfully it paid off.
Well, if you didn't know that voice, that's Leo McLoone, and before that, Kieran Thompson, after Niamh Connell won the county title for the first time in 4 years. They lost the previous two finals, but on the third time of asking, took victory. But Jeremy Doherty, they went in as total underdogs. They were totally written off. We heard Leo say 12-0 there. That was in the Democrats. You got former players and current players on. Everybody was going for Gidor. Mm. And nobody really at the start of the county final was tipping them for success.
Yeah. In fairness, he made reference to that Democrat jury. That's a tradition in the Democrat leading up to county finals, that they do this jury on the back page, and they ask, as you say, various people within the GAA, or, you know, to predict the I'm sure if we had asked everybody around this table, Oisín, even ahead of that final,
We probably would have said Gidor.
And in fairness, you know, defending the Democrat here, but all we can do is ask the people for their opinion. They went for 12-0, and even Michael Jack O'Donnell from Glendies, and Niamh Connell, man through and through, he mentioned that a few times since. You're going to have a look at that jury.
They're
not
getting digs,
are
you?
They do.
What about the Donegal News? How did their jury go?
Oh, well, I think we definitely give Niamh Connell a big chance now. to be fair, Oisín, like, they were written off left, right and centre. Yeah. You have to hand it to them, like, and it'll go down in the history books, the trilogy, as they call it. It was they were fantastic games. They were low scoring games, and, you know, at times there was dull passing going on across the field, but it was always compelling.
Yeah, and you have to give them credit, because they lost two, Ryan. They lost the two finals before that, and some teams would give up, but they never ever give up.
No, they never give up, and like, you know, some of those defeats would have been hard to stomach too. Like, and they were well beaten by Gidor in last year's final, and to come back from that, and maybe we'll say that Gidor weren't quite at the same level that they were the previous year, but Niamh Connell took their game up a level too.
They did.
And, like, to be fair, like Kieran Thompson, you know, he picked up the Seamus McGeady Award and very much deserved it. And I have to say, I thought he was brilliant throughout the championship.
Yeah, and Martin Regan had said as well about younger players that have come up through the underage ranks, Chris, and the Niamh Connell side, and they played their part. And you've seen that as well on the St Union's victory in the semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely. And hunger is a big thing to do with it, as Ryan alluded to there. I mean, Niamh Connell, they were wounded from previous years, and they had that real bounce-back ability. And even in the final itself, in the first replay and the second replay, there were times when it looked as if the game was going to go away from them, but they were able to pull it back on each occasion, and a tremendous achievement in the end.
Were you tipping Niamh Connell, Maureen?
Well, do you know, like, you're talking about different people giving their ratings to maybe Cador, but I suppose Cador, you would have had them on huge favours coming off their maybe success in the All-Ireland, getting as far as the semi-final. First Ulster Championship since 1975. They were fantastic as well. Like, so everyone was tipping Cador, and very little people. But being underdogs going into a final like that, coming off the back of two hurts, you know, I felt that Niamh Connell might have had it. I mean, both teams made serious errors during all of the matches, but that, I mean, they got popped in. Cador got popped in the very last day, maybe that controversial score at the end as well that was given. So, I mean, it was fantastic entertainment, the three games of football, for any of the people that follow the Gaelic football within the county here. So fantastic to see Niamh Connell going on as far as they did as well to the Ulster final.
Yeah, like the point I was just going to make there was there's so many subplots in it. Like, you know, the two teams couldn't agree if there was going to be penalties. Yeah. And we were going to this game not knowing if it would actually be finished on the day. There was other, you know, John O'Malley coming off the bench to kick the winning point. Like, and he had a chance in the first game and missed it. And the second game, the Guido or Shane Ferry stepped by him to kick the equalising point. And yet, I remember talking to him after the game, and he said he didn't even think he would get on in the third match. And yet he was the hero. And was it over? Wasn't it over? You know, and I think it was only, was it T.G. Cahir and the following Monday night, 5 days later, when we could actually say for certain that the ball was over the bar?
Yeah. Donegal football's tough, Ryan, so does. It's a hard championship to come through. Now, you'd be stepping about it at probably 99% of the games across all levels in Donegal. Football's tough at club level in the county, so does.
Yeah, it really is. Like, and we, you know, we've talked about this, and Donegal teams are doing well in Ulster now, and it seems because it opens up that wee bit more and there's not the same sort of familiarity. But, you know, you were down yourself in the first big game of the season down in Maharagallen and Gweedore and St Unions, and it was 1-3 to 6 points, and you know, it was cagey and it was tense, and you had that the whole way through the championship, you know. And maybe that was because we had the group of death system, and that's going to be changed next year. And you know, I'm not convinced if that's the right thing to do to bring in seeding to the championship, but it's definitely tough going. And you know, it's hard to see any team outside that top four of St Unions and Niamh Connell, Gweedore and Kilcar winning the Dr. Maguire next year, but between those four teams, like, really, you could see any of them lifting it next year.
Okay, let's go to the Ulster competition for Niamh Connell. They secured a place in the semi-finals after overcoming Cavan's Castle Rahan 111-11 points in Breffni Park. Then on Saturday the 16th of November, Niamh Connell booked their place in the final with a 12-9-1, an impressive 12-9-1 over Clontibret in Monaghan. But on Sunday the 1st of December, Niamh Connell's bid for a first Ulster Senior Football Championship Club title was ended by Kilcoo as the Down champions ran out winners on that day by 2 points, 2-11-9, and Oma was how it finished. And Niamh Connell manager's Martin Regan.
Disappointing. We just left ourselves too much work to do after the first half performance, and we had a bad 15-20 minutes in that first half, but we came up short, and it's disappointing. They were very good in the counter-attack, and we probably did cough up possession too easy in our forward line at times, but look, they moved the ball really well, I thought, and they caused loads of problems in our defence. The runners they had off Conor Laverty inside, we always struggled to keep pace with them, and look at that, they're a good team, and they're the better team on the day, there's no doubt about that. And it's one we probably will look at in a couple of weeks' time and think it's one that got away on us. Of course we're disappointed, and we feel we could have won Ulster title here today, but it's still been a good year, there's no doubt about that. There, we've won. Our aim for this year was to win a Donegal championship, we've done that, but this is one that's going to hurt us, and it'll hurt us forevermore. That it was a huge opportunity for us to win the Ulster title, and them chances don't come too easy, so it is one we'll regret, but I wouldn't say to put it around as a bad year either.
It was a good year for Niamh Connell, but it ended in disappointment. Looking at that Ulster run, Dermot Doherty, they were tired men when they took on Castle Rathen, but they got over the line that day.
Yeah, because as you were both chatting about there ahead of that audio piece there, Niamh Connell had come through a grueling championship in Donegal, never mind the group stages and quarterfinal, semifinal, and then the three games against Gweedore in the final. And do you remember Dr. Charlie McManus then issued the statement and the letter to the Ulster Council, pleading with them to have a look at that fixture, the Castle Rathen game, which came on the Sunday after Niamh Connell had beaten Gweedore in the second replay, the final in Donegal. So yeah, there was that player welfare issue, the tiredness, and Niamh Connell had a big game, and they came through that one, 111 to 11 points, and showed a wee bit of steel, showed a wee bit of character to get through, and then they had the wee bit of a break then ahead of their semi-final, which had to be a big help to them.
Yeah, and they were brilliant in that semi-final one against Clontibert, so they were, Ryan.
Yeah, Oisín, they definitely were. I think it was 12 points to 9 was the final score, but that probably flattered Clontibert on the day, you know, and you know they were fantastic. I remember the build-up to the game, and we were all talking about who was going to mark Conor McManus. Yeah. And you know, young Jack McKelvey went back to do it and did a great job on the day. I think McManus got a point in the second minute from play, and he didn't get another one after that. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were excellent. Owen McGilligan in a full forward, and he'd been held quite well in some of the other games, but he really came alive that day. And you know, it's kind of, they're always great games, I think, those Ulster games, especially the ones under lights. And you know, there's great atmosphere at them, and you know, Niamh Connell were very worthy winners that day.
But they had the tags of favourites going into the final, and Maureen, that didn't go in their favour. Kilcoo, with Mickey Moran back in charge as well, guys. He showed his experience, and Niamh Connell just couldn't get up to the levels that day, Maureen.
Yeah, listen, fantastic, as I said earlier, to get to an Ulster final. They were going on as raging favourites, and you know that can have a huge effect on performances. There were a lot of young guys throughout that team, and there was a huge build up to that game, if I remember as well. They were chasing the game from the start. They were 7 points down, took it back to 1 point at half time, and then they went a further 6 points down after that. You know, and you talked about the experience of Mickey Moran, perhaps that was the key factor on the day. He got the matchups brilliant on the day. He had Aidan Brannigan taking out the likes of Kieran Thompson and a man marking job, which really left Glenties down a man, you know. And then of course they isolated Conor Lafferty up front. He was involved in 2-6 of the 2-11 that they scored. So I mean, that little bit of experience, like back in 2016, Kilcoo lost to Sloughneil, and Sloughneil was managed by Mickey Moran at that stage, and he has 3 titles under his belt as well. And they took Mickey Moran on for a job this year, and I mean, that's their first time to the Ulster final, and they came away with a 1. Yeah, so it's Kilcoo, fantastic.
Yeah, they never panicked in that game, even when Niamh Connell started to get to grips with the game. But they were trailing up by 6 or 7 points, Ryan, at stages. But Kilcoo never panicked, they never drifted off their game plan.
Yeah, because if you remember back, Niamh Connell got 2 quite fortuitous goals.
Just before
half time. But Kilcoo came flying out of the blocks again in the second half. And, you know, the 5 Brannigan brothers, you know, and they were really, really impressive. Like, they're tough, hardy fellas. And it was a hard defeat for Niamh Connell. Like, that's their second Ulster club final defeat. And I suppose the thing about it is it's so hard to even think about getting back there, you know, because you could be caught in the group stages in Donegal, depending, you know, on the draw you get. And it took them.
But the thing about it is they're now the favourites for the Dr. McGuire next year.
Oh, they are. They're the team to beat.
Yeah.
And this is a point I would have made during the year, Oisín, and people were saying, talking up Kilcar and saying they had a great league campaign. Niamh Connell have the Dr. McGuire, so it's up to the other teams to take it off them.